The flock safety story is one where I want to slow down and examine the specific numbers, because the scale is what makes it significant, rather than just the concept. Flock Safety pitched turning 350,000 rideshare vehicles, Uber and Lyft cars, into mobile license plate scanners. The existing Flock network already has fixed cameras across many American cities used by law enforcement. Adding 350,000 moving vehicles to that network would create a surveillance mesh that could, in principle, track the movement of almost any vehicle in a major metropolitan area in near real time.
The technical capability gap between what this would enable and what current law permits is large and unresolved. License plate data collection in public spaces has generally been treated as not requiring a warrant because plates are visible in public. But the aggregation of that data across time and geography creates a detailed picture of individual movement patterns that courts have begun to treat differently. The Supreme Court's Carpenter v. United States decision in 2018 established that prolonged location tracking does implicate Fourth Amendment protections, even when each individual data point is technically public. A 350,000 vehicle moving scanner network would almost certainly produce data that crosses the Carpenter threshold for many users.
The Colorado school drone story sits in a similar intersection of genuine security concern and profound civil liberties uncertainty. Deploying drones that can physically ram active shooters at 60 miles per hour is a response to a real problem. School shootings remain a genuine threat with documented casualties. The technology exists. The question is what happens when a system designed for active shooter response makes a targeting error, and what the legal and moral framework is for autonomous or semi-autonomous use of force in a school environment.
The identification challenge alone is significant. A drone system responding to an active shooter has to distinguish between the shooter and, for example, a student who picked up the shooter's dropped weapon, or a security guard arriving on scene, or a teacher trying to protect students. Those distinctions are genuinely difficult for humans under stress, and potentially even harder for automated systems. The Colorado district adopting this is presumably accepting that risk calculus, that the reduction in active shooter harm outweighs the risk of misidentification. Whether that calculus has been made transparently with the school community is an open question.
The FBI and NSA joint warning on Gunra ransomware brings the security picture to the enterprise level. Ransomware as a service operations, where the technical infrastructure is provided to criminal actors who pay a subscription or revenue share, have become sophisticated enough that six U.S. and international agencies felt it warranted a coordinated public advisory. The critical vulnerabilities Gunra is exploiting are reportedly in widely deployed enterprise software, which means the organizations at risk span healthcare, infrastructure, and financial services. The advisory's recommendation to patch is straightforward, but the reality of enterprise IT environments is that patching critical systems without disrupting operations is a process that takes time. Many organizations don't have once the advisory is public.
The Warner Bros. AI Dog podcast ad Backlash is lighter material, but genuinely telling as a cultural indicator. Using AI-generated content in advertising is becoming normalized, but the audience reaction to a dog seemingly narrating a podcast in an AI voice for a dog-related product or film, presumably, suggests there's still a visceral public resistance to synthetic authenticity that brands are navigating imperfectly. People can tell, and they don't like being told they can't tell.
Brad Pitt arguing that AI could save mid-budget movies is the optimistic version of the same technology debate. His argument that AI can reduce production costs enough to make the $40 to $80 million movie commercially viable again after studios largely abandoned that budget range in favor of either tent poles or streaming micro-budgets is plausible in theory. The practical question is whether the savings come from crew reduction or from enabling smaller crews to do more. And the entertainment industry's labor history suggests those are very different outcomes.